This article is brought to you by the best-selling book series Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to follow up after receiving feedback to demonstrate real growth. Turn feedback into visible progress with a system that earns respect. In short, after reading this, you will know exactly how to follow up after receiving feedback in a way that demonstrates real, visible change. Write down specific actions within 24 hours of the feedback conversation. Follow up with the person who gave the feedback before 6 weeks pass. Track your progress in writing so you can speak to it with confidence. Definition: follow-up feedback is the deliberate process of returning to a person who gave you feedback to share what actions you have taken, what has changed in your behaviour, and what you're still working on. It closes the loop and transforms a one-time conversation into a continuous growth cycle. Introduction. You received the feedback. You said thank you. You walked away with good intentions. And then 2 months passed, nothing changed, and the person who gave you that feedback quietly stopped offering it. This is the most common failure in feedback skills. It has nothing to do with intelligence or effort. It happens because receiving feedback and acting on feedback are two completely different skills. Most people only ever practice the first one. The second one, the follow-up, feels awkward. You do not know what to say. You are not sure how much time to wait. You wonder if bringing it up again will make things strange. So you say nothing, and the opportunity disappears. The truth is, the follow-up is where the real work happens. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for following up after receiving feedback that you can use immediately. If you are still exploring what strong feedback skills look like in broader practice, how to give constructive feedback without causing tension is a solid place to build that foundation alongside this one. Why following up on feedback is harder than it looks. Knowing you should follow up and actually doing it are two different things entirely. I have watched smart, capable people receive excellent feedback, nod along, and then never mention it again. Not because they did not care. Because they did not know how. Here is what makes this genuinely difficult. The gap between intention and execution is real. You leave the feedback conversation motivated, but within days that motivation competes with deadlines, emails, and everything else demanding your attention. Without a written system, the feedback gets buried. You fear the follow-up conversation more than the original one. Bringing it up again feels like admitting vulnerability twice. There's real courage required in saying, "I heard what you told me, and here is what I have done about it." You are not sure what counts as progress. Feedback is often directional rather than specific. When someone says communicate more clearly, you may genuinely not know when you have done enough to report back. You worry about drawing attention to the problem again. Paradoxically, some people avoid following up because they hope the issue has been quietly forgotten. Staying silent feels safer. You have no script for the conversation. Without knowing what to say, most people say nothing. Silence becomes the default, and the feedback loop never closes. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, a written record of the feedback. The moment a feedback conversation ends, your memory of it starts to drift. Write down the specific points raised, as close to verbatim as possible, within 24 hours. Vague recollections lead to vague actions. Specific notes lead to specific change. This record becomes your reference for everything that follows. Number two, a clear understanding of what was asked of you. Before you can follow up, you must know what the other person actually wanted to see change. If the feedback was general, go back and ask a clarifying question before the conversation ends. Can you give me one specific example of what this would look like? Is a direct, respectful question that gives you something concrete to work with. If you need a proven structure for these kinds of performance conversations, one-on-one feedback sessions, proven structures gives you exactly that. Number three, a realistic time frame in your calendar. Decide before you leave the conversation, or within 24 hours, when you will follow up. Put a date in your calendar. 2 to 4 weeks is the practical target for most feedback. Long enough to show genuine effort. Short enough to still be relevant. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Write down your specific action plan within 24 hours. This step transforms feedback from a feeling into a task you can actually complete. Feedback received but not recorded is feedback that fades. I have made this mistake more times than I care to admit. You walk away thinking you will remember, and then life moves on, and what remains is a vague sense that you should be doing something differently. That is not enough to build on. Within 24 hours of the feedback conversation, sit down and write. Number 1. The specific behavior or area the feedback addressed. Number 2. 1 to 3 concrete actions you will take to address it. Number 3. A date by which you will attempt each action. Number 4. The name of the person who gave the feedback, and when you plan to follow up with them. Example, say your manager told you that your written updates lack context, so senior leaders cannot act on them. Your action plan might read, restructure my weekly update to include a one-sentence summary of why each item matters. Do this for the next 3 updates. Follow up with Sarah on date to ask whether she has noticed a difference. That is specific enough to do. Vague intentions are not. Once your action plan is written, you've shifted the feedback from something that happened to you into something you're actively managing. That shift matters. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 2. Take visible action before the follow-up conversation. The follow-up conversation only has credibility if there's real change behind it. This step is the work, not the conversation about the work, the actual doing. If you follow up with words alone, I've been thinking about what you said, it reads as polite, but hollow. What earns respect is returning with evidence of action taken. Focus on visible behavior, things the other person can actually observe. Internal shifts in attitude are real, but they are invisible. Behavioral change is what people can see, reference, and respond to. Number 1. Take at least one specific action directly connected to the feedback before you follow up. Number 2. Make the action visible in your normal working environment, not a private experiment no one can see. Number 3. Note the date you took each action so you can reference it precisely in the follow-up. Number 4. If the action involves repeated behavior, aim for at least 2 or 3 instances before reporting back. Number 5. If you encounter a barrier to taking action, write it down so you can name it honestly in the conversation. The GROW method outlined in this article is a strong framework for turning feedback into a structured personal improvement plan. It helps you define where you are now, where you want to be, and what options exist for getting there. Taking visible action before you follow up is what separates people who grow from people who simply acknowledge feedback and move on. Step 3. Initiate the follow-up conversation directly. Most people wait for the other person to bring the feedback up again. That is a mistake. You initiate. Waiting signals that the feedback was not a priority. Initiating signals that it was. It takes confidence to go back to someone and say, I heard what you told me, and here is what I have done about it. That confidence is earned, not assumed. But the act of initiating it, regardless of how uncertain you feel, is what demonstrates professional maturity. Keep the conversation short, direct, and specific. This is not a therapy session. You're reporting back on a commitment you made. Number 1. Start with a brief reference to the original conversation name, the feedback clearly so there is no ambiguity. Number 2. State what you did differently, 1 or 2 specific actions, not a list of everything you tried. Number 3. Ask for an honest observation. Give the other person space to tell you what they have noticed. Number 4. Thank them for the original feedback without being excessive about it. Number 5. Ask one forward-facing question. Is there anything else you think I should focus on? Script. Sarah, I wanted to come back to the conversation we had about my written updates. I have restructured the last 3 to include a context summary at the top. Have you noticed a difference? I want to make sure I'm actually addressing what you raised. That is it. 60 seconds. Clear, direct, and respectful. After this conversation, the loop is partially closed and the relationship is stronger for it. Step 4. Ask for honest observation, not validation. There is a difference between asking someone to confirm you have improved and asking them to tell you honestly what they see. One is seeking reassurance. The other is seeking truth. After years of watching feedback conversations go sideways, I can tell you the most common trap is this: people follow up hoping to hear well done. When the honest answer is not quite yet, they feel deflated and stop following up entirely. The goal of this step is to recalibrate your expectations before you ask the question. Number 1. Frame your question in a way that invites honest observation rather than polite encouragement. Number 2. Accept an ambivalent response without defensiveness. Still a work in progress is useful information. Number 3. If the feedback is that you have not yet shown change, ask what specific thing you could do differently. Number 4. Resist the urge to explain or justify your actions in response to critical feedback. Number 5. Write down what they say, even if it is uncomfortable to hear. For word language, you can adapt for exactly these moments. Word for word scripts for giving constructive feedback at work has scripts that work in both directions of a feedback conversation. Honest observation is a gift, even when it does not feel like one. Treat it as data, not judgment. Step 5. Track your progress in writing over time. A single follow-up conversation is a good start. A written record of your progress over weeks and months is what builds a lasting reputation for growth. I cover the discipline of written self-tracking and Say It Right every time, particularly in the context of the 60-day transformation plan, which treats communication improvement as a compound practice. The principle is simple: what you track, you improve. What you leave to memory, you lose. Keep a short running log. It does not need to be elaborate. Number 1. After each action you take in response to feedback, write one sentence describing what you did and the date. Number 2. After each follow-up conversation, note what the other person said and what you will do next. Number 3. Review your log at the end of each week to assess whether your efforts are consistent or patchy. Number 4. Use the log to prepare for your next follow-up. You will have specific examples ready rather than vague impressions. Number 5. Share relevant entries from the log in performance conversations to demonstrate deliberate, documented growth. Example: a log entry might read, 15 March, structured weekly update with context summary as Sarah suggested. 22 March, second update completed the same way. 29 March, followed up with Sarah. She said the format is clearer, still working on brevity. That level of detail turns feedback into a demonstrable track record. Over time, that track record becomes your professional credibility. Step 6. Close the loop formally after sustained change. A final, deliberate closing conversation signals that you've moved from responding to feedback to integrating it. This is the step most people miss entirely. Once you've sustained a change for 4 to 6 weeks, go back to the person who gave the original feedback and close the loop explicitly, not to declare victory, but to acknowledge the full cycle. You heard them, you acted, and you're grateful for their investment in your development. Number 1. Reference the original feedback one last time by name. Number 2. Summarize what you changed and for how long you have sustained it. Number 3. Share what you learned about yourself through the process. Number 4. Thank them genuinely, one sentence only. Number 5. Ask whether they see any further areas worth working on. This conversation does something important beyond the immediate exchange. It signals to the other person that giving you feedback is worth their time. That signal matters enormously to how future feedback will be offered to you. People stop offering feedback when they see it disappear into silence. They offer it more often, and more honestly, when they see it result in change. Closing the loop formally turns a one-time feedback cycle into an ongoing relationship of trust and honest communication. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Remote and hybrid environments add friction to every feedback conversation. When you are not in the same room, the natural cues that reinforce accountability disappear. You cannot catch someone in the corridor. You cannot sense that a follow-up conversation is overdue. Build explicit check-ins into your calendar. Without physical proximity, the follow-up conversation will not happen by accident. Schedule it as a dedicated agenda item in your next one-to-one, rather than assuming it will come up naturally. Even 5 minutes set aside specifically for feedback follow-up is enough. Use written updates to bridge the gap between conversations. If your next scheduled meeting is 3 weeks away, send a brief written update in the meantime. A short message that says, I have been working on the specific area we discussed. Here is what I have done. Here is what I'm still figuring out keeps the loop alive. For guidance on making those messages land with the right tone, follow-up emails that reinforce accountability gives you a clear structure. Be more explicit about visible change in written form. In a physical office, behavioral change can be observed naturally. Remotely, you must name it. I want to let you know I have been applying what you suggested in our last meeting is not overclaiming. It is communicating clearly across a medium that lacks non-verbal cues. Use the SBDI method to give and receive clear feedback in remote settings. When feedback is delivered by video call or message, specificity matters even more. The SBDI method gives both parties a shared language that makes remote feedback conversations far more precise and productive. The core process does not change in a remote environment. Only the deliberateness of your execution must increase. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: saying thank you and doing nothing visible afterward. Why it happens: the relief of having survived the feedback conversation displaces the work of acting on it. What to do instead? Write your action plan within 24 hours before that relief settles into inertia. The mistake: waiting for the other person to bring it up again. Why it happens: initiating a follow-up feels exposing. It is easier to hope the issue resolved itself. What to do instead? Put the follow-up date in your calendar the day you receive the feedback. Make it your responsibility, not theirs. The mistake: following up with words rather than evidence. Why it happens: people confuse awareness of a problem with progress on a problem. What to do instead? Take at least one specific, observable action before you initiate the follow-up conversation. The mistake: asking for reassurance rather than honest observation. Why it happens: the follow-up conversation feels like an evaluation, and we naturally want to pass. What to do instead? Frame your question to invite truth. Have you noticed a difference? Not do you think I have improved? The mistake: following up once and then treating the matter as closed. Why it happens: one conversation feels like enough. It rarely is. What to do instead? Track your progress in writing over 4 to 6 weeks before formally closing the loop. The mistake: treating feedback as criticism rather than information. Why it happens: feedback touches our sense of competence, and that triggers defensiveness. What to do instead? Before each follow-up, we read your written record of the feedback and remind yourself it is data about a behaviour, not a verdict on your character. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have written down the specific feedback I received within 24 hours. I have identified 1 to 3 concrete actions I will take in response. I have put a follow-up date in my calendar for 2 to 4 weeks from now. I have taken at least one visible action before initiating the follow-up. I have noted the dates and details of each action I took. I have initiated the follow-up conversation rather than waiting to be asked. I framed my follow-up question to invite honest observation, not reassurance. I have written down what the other person said in the follow-up conversation. I am maintaining a short written log of my progress over time. I have sustained the change for at least 4 weeks before formally closing the loop. I have asked whether there are further areas worth working on. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a complete, practical process for following up after receiving feedback in a way that demonstrates real, sustained change. That is something most people never build. Write your action plan within 24 hours so feedback becomes a task, not a memory. Take visible action before you initiate any follow-up conversation. Initiate the follow-up yourself. Do not wait for the other person to bring it back up. Ask for honest observation, not reassurance, and accept what you hear without defensiveness. Track your progress in writing so you can speak to it with confidence. Close the loop formally after 4 to 6 weeks of sustained change. Repeat the cycle. Strong feedback skills are built through practice, not a single conversation. From here, I would recommend reading How to Give Feedback that Strengthens Team Synergy instead of breaking it to understand the other side of this exchange, and How to Give Constructive Feedback without causing tension if you find yourself in the position of delivering feedback more often than receiving it. For a deeper look at the psychology behind why follow-up feedback conversations succeed or fail under pressure, Say It Right Every Time walks through the full feedback cycle in detail. Growth is not a feeling you have in the moment feedback lands. It is the sum of what you do in the weeks after. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to follow up feedback at work? To follow up feedback means taking deliberate action after a feedback conversation to show you've heard, reflected, and changed your behaviour. It involves checking back in with the person who gave the feedback, sharing specific progress, and demonstrating that the conversation had a real impact on how you work. How do you follow up after receiving feedback from your manager?
After receiving feedback from your manager, write down the specific points raised, identify one or two concrete actions you will take, then schedule a brief follow-up conversation within 2 to 4 weeks.
Share what you have done differently and ask whether they have noticed a change. This shows respect and builds trust. Why is following up after feedback important for professional growth?
Following up after feedback closes the loop and proves that feedback leads to change, not just acknowledgement. Most people say thank you and move on. The ones who follow up with visible action build stronger reputations, earn more trust from colleagues, and accelerate their professional development far faster.
How long should you wait before following up on feedback you received? Wait long enough to have made a genuine attempt at change, typically 2 to 4 weeks.
Following up too quickly, before any change is visible, comes across as performative.
Waiting too long, beyond 6 weeks, signals that the feedback faded from your priorities. 2 to 4 weeks is the practical sweet spot. What should you say when you follow up feedback with your manager or colleague?
Keep it specific and direct. Name the feedback you received, describe one concrete action you took, and ask whether they have noticed a difference. A simple script works well. Share the change you made, reference the original conversation, and invite their honest observation.
Avoid vague statements like "I have been trying to improve." How do feedback skills improve your reputation at work?
Strong feedback skills signal maturity, self-awareness, and professionalism.
When you receive feedback gracefully and follow up with visible change, colleagues and managers see you as someone who prioritizes growth over ego. Over time, this builds a reputation for reliability and coachability that opens doors to greater responsibility.
Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.